Good morning, everyone. I had someone last week after we launched this new series called Contending for the Renewal of the Central Coast come to me and say, I hear what you're saying with this all this contending business. He said, but I've had so much happening in my life. I am so flat out in my own life. I've got so many issues in my own life. I know I'm a bit selfish, but I don't want to be participating in this contending thing for the Central Coast. And I was like, yeah, okay. I'm a slow responder, so I actually have to go back and think about what was said. And then what hit me was, hang on, and it's probably a very good answer, is when we are talking about contending for the renewal of the Central Coast, I wrote here, I said, contending is about the realness of us navigating the wrestle of life together. And one of our core convictions that says discipleship takes place at home is when I see him again, it's like, mate, all that wrestle, all the things that you are going through, all the struggles that you are wrestling through, it's the way that you are contending, and in that process, not doing it on your own, but in the supernatural gathering of God's people, how we are then transforming and by the community and renewing it. And it begins within us. The beauty, of course, is that contending without the Central Coast can make it about us. And there is a part in there that I often think that we get a bad rep for, because if it's about me, the way I contend and my motivation and all that is completely different. So this morning is the joy of saying, hey, contending is also purpose. So I just want to add this to you, so you, as we go through this whole year, so you can just keep track of where we're going, is that as we are saying this, we want to, you know, our Coast community, our big picture is to be healthy, growing, and full of love, which is an extract of Ephesians 4 verse 16. And if you work backwards, it's always good to work a bit backwards, it's talking about being mature as a body. And we were asking ourselves, how does a body look when it's mature? And when we talk about maturity, someone said, how do you define maturity? It's when you stop arguing. Just saying. We participate. And this is the beauty, of course, is that we are contending, we are wrestling for that renewal. But however, it's about how are we planning to do it? What is our strategy? Is it because Coast Community, we have the best equipment and resources and people? Of course we've got the, you guys are amazing. But it's not about us, right? It's not about us. It's not about building the empire of Coast Community. So we want to qualify that to say that we participate. And this is why we are participating in the coming of God's kingdom as we love others with the love of Christ. And the reason I put that in is also to show, because some people might go, hang on, where's the scripture? Is that we have sat in that for so many months, that is taken from Philippians 1 verse 5. It's like, I thank God for your partnering with us. So we are not just spectators, we are partners, we are participants in the gospel. There's the second part of the coming of God's kingdom. Matthew 6 says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness and all will be added unto you. So the foundation is that we are seeking to continue to expand and complement the kingdom of God, not the empire of Coast Community. And there's a thin line, I tell you, because we are all humans driving these systems. And it's so easy to use God in the name of, and we really want to go, the transformation, the renewal needs to focus on the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus is in and among us through the Holy Spirit. And then Matthew 22 that says, love others as Christ loved you. And that's why we put it in there. Because sometimes, you know, love one another is very easy to say, or loveless. But man, it's so hard to do. But the image there, we are very explicit calling it love as Jesus loves us, because the way he calls us to love is completely different. It's the most unselfish way of doing things. And you know what? Sometimes if I'm not aware of that, the way I love others are the most selfish, because I want to be loved. I want to be center stage in the way that my love is conditional to the way that you respond to me. So in fact, I want you all to come down and go, mate, you are the best. You are the center stage and you want me to do the same. And eventually we're going to clash in that space. And that's often where, that's how the argument starts. But when we love with the love of Jesus and it's sacrificial, it looks completely different. And so as we continue then, I love this on the post today and I pinched it. And I felt I just wanted to read, it's on Facebook this morning. Contending for the renewal involves a recognition that as the body of Christ, we are collectively and individually called to actively participate in God's mission of restoration and reconciliation on earth. And it begins with us, within us, in our household, and expands through our neighborhoods, through our gatherings as a witness. It goes on to say that the resumption of our God-given purpose to partner with God fully to see the Central Coast realigned with His presence. How amazing is that? To me, that is such a beautiful picture of where we're aiming and where we believe God is calling us. And so our corner verse, we continue. Last week we said that we are contending in prayer because we believe that you can do whatever you want, but prayer is the way to go. And our corner verse of Colossians 4 verse 12, and we continue this week, and it's actually titled Contending by, you know, in Standing Mature. So what I'm going to do next is I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to read that verse as a whole. But I want you to participate this morning right now. And the way that when I prepare is often just pause and go, Holy Spirit, what word or words or phrases are you highlighting to me? Because we are all participants in the kingdom. And I've got an amazing message, right? But it's worthless in comparison to what the Holy Spirit can point out. Amen. Like there is no comparison. So I want us to just from the outright allow the Spirit to be dictating and showing and speaking into our lives. So I'm going to read it slowly. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. One thing I find helpful is breathing. In the morning, I feel sometimes there is just something in my spirit just needs to be breathed out. So I just go, and I just really to pay attention. It's like, breathe in and out. This invitation for you is just in through nose and out. And if you think I'm kind of funny, I am. We all are. But I find it is helping me settle that often when we approach, we're coming from an angle, no matter where we are. And it's the first thing that I've always been taught, and is that we want to center ourselves as close to the presence of God that we can and go, Lord, what are you saying? What are you highlighting in this space? And even before you go to the context, all the other bits that we're going to do is firstly, Spirit, speak to me. You're giving him a space. And so when you read that this morning, was even just today when I read it again this morning, it said, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus? It's one of you that just jumped out of me. But if we read it again, he is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. And then as we move into today, Epaphras is always wrestling, and I put in bracket there, contending, because some versions use the word contend, wrestle, struggle, leaning in prayer for you. So that was last week. And then today we say, and I've put in brackets, so that. And it's to help us just go, okay, the purpose, okay, he's wrestling in prayer for us. Why? So that you may stand, which is our focus today. And then the first part says mature and fully assured in the will of God. And then if we come a little bit closer, we say Epaphras is always wrestling, contending in prayer for you, so that you may stand mature in the will of God. And then today it says, so that you may stand mature in the will of God. Now, what comes to mind? Because there is a whole condensed words, phrase in there that we are going to look at. What comes to mind when you hear the word stand mature? If you think about spiritually in church, I don't know about you, like what comes to mind? Clearly you must have someone in mind or something in mind, or what is there, if you think about, you know, like, oh, the, if you think about a long-standing mature Christian,
someone serving,
yes.
Senior,
yes. I always think of those who pray in the King James Version. I mean, someone would look at me and go, oh, hang on, he's standing mature. You know, like he's got the credits, he's got this, he's got that. And we look at him in different ways. I mean, we look at someone who is the in the church the longest could be seen as standing mature. But what is it really when we are talking about standing mature? Now, the thing that I find in this space is and we're going to look at the anti-story in a second, because for every story of God, for heaven down, there's an up, earth up. Satan, like enemy, wants to deceive us in the most oppositional way possible. But the big challenge for us, especially within our spiritual circles, is that when you talk about standing mature, there is this whole, there's a couple of ways that you can go about. And the one is, and there's always this thing about standing, and quite often we have this idea, and it was my idea for many years, is that the Christian who stands mature is the one whose behavior are impeccable, and the one who is the least in need of help, and who is always available to help others. Is someone who is, you know, as we grow in our faith. So when we come to Christ, we confessed. How many of us, when we became a Christian, we laid out. We said, like, Lord, this is who I am. Yeah, right. We say, Lord, you know me by heart. You know my ins and outs. You know my heart. You know everything, all my deeds. Like, shoop. And then as we started in this race of standing mature, we've sort of become a consultant for God to show him how strong we are in standing mature. And it's like me picking something up. I'm trying to look for something I can put on my shoulder, right? And you start carrying that. And we wanted to look, as you go about, we want to look the part, right? So we started looking at the others and go, they're all looking as if they're standing mature. They're all smiling and they look all right. So therefore, I should do the same. And there is the trap, because one of the key things that we are taught is that, you know, are we saved by our works or by grace? It's grace, right? However, sometimes our practice is by works, because we try to hold a picture when we gather for the sake of looking, standing mature. I wanted to have the approval of God in my life. And I feel like often it's like, you know, I want to impress God. I want to impress you. I want to impress everybody else. And one of the things is that I start to lean in that space. But here is the key, and I want to just bring this in. And I think it's, it is essential for us to understand what it means to stand mature. Look at what it says there. So that you may stand mature, not to pass the impression of God. Is that what it says? It says, so that you stand mature in the will of God. What does it mean? Well, it means completely different. It means, or let me rephrase, how my life was transformed as a pastor. So I was a pastor and I loved going out and I hated, like I wanted to look the part, and I was out there anyone who knows me can say, oh man, he's quite energetic somehow, a little bit. And he goes out and he's da 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 da, and I've never stopped, and it's always this, and it's always this, and it's da 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 da. But we went to one day, and his pastor was taking us through this conversation, and I should have known it was a trap. And she said, "How many of you will give everything away?" So if I ask you, how many of you would go, "You know what? I will do whatever it takes for help others to see Jesus." And many of us would go, "Yeah, yep, yep." There's a couple of pastors. How many of you would always be there for someone else? If someone is in need, they will come to you. And we're all like, "Yes." She goes, "You are amazing. Man, you are so good. And I should have known that was a trap." And then she went on and on and on. And she just kept going and going and going. And then all of a sudden she said, "Okay, how many of you, if you are in need, if you hit a struggle, would ask for help?" And we're all like, "No way. We don't do that. That's not standing mature. How dare we look weak? That is absolutely not true." And she goes, "Ah, so you're Jesus?" And I tell you, you know, like that conviction of the Spirit when it hits, sometimes it cuts in a very good way, but it cuts deep when I'm like, because I would die asking for help. I had pride in my heart to stand in the picture of what Christianity should be. I was a soldier for God, and I needed to show the strength. But unfortunately, my strength that was shown to the world was very shaky inside. One of the great things that is happening with us here at Coast Community, and last week or somewhere along the line, there was this compliment. Someone asked about the weakness of our leadership. And I'm like, "Mate, thank you for that compliment. It is far more courageous to be weak, to show vulnerability, to allow others to see beyond this veneer, because believe me, this veneer can be very thin. Put the right circumstances or take away the right circumstances, and sometimes a different, holy, mature person can arise." And I believe that in this room, we're all the same. But you see, the fear is what holds us back. Fear is the thing that prevents us. Fear is the thing that encourages us to go, "Hang on, if you dare let anyone in, if you dare show a bit of weakness, it actually empowers the church to keep leaning in and say, we need that strong one person to go, because if he, like, well, she doesn't go, like, how can we do that?" And there is a danger, because if we didn't go into the Andy's story, the enemy is doing the same, has got a similar strategy as God, but in a complete opposite ways, which makes him completely different. And what I wanted to show you today is that first part of standing mature is that awareness. The first thing that we can do is just that simple awareness that my own strength is never good enough, and that my own fear prevents me from engaging. Or it actually could make me judgmental. Because the biggest barrier between you and me is me. It's my perspective of you and what you do. And it's also my fear. When we started to engage with our Muslim neighbors, it was out of fear that I wanted to convert them, because my mind, if I'm truly honest, I believe standing mature, if I don't tell you, if I don't lead you, if I don't bring you, and you don't choose Jesus, you will go to hell because I have done this, this, and that. And it was absolutely fear-based. It was not relational. And so what I'm showing with us today is that the opposition, the enemy, who is called the adversary, the accuser, who is called the tempter, can you see the way that he operates? He's the one that will whisper in our ears to say, "Your way of standing mature should look like this. Keep your mouth shut. Oh, don't let anyone see that." Because the same tempter becomes the accuser. Have any one of you gone, I've gone this step. You may have eaten that donut, clicked on that website. You put your picture in there. And immediately, what comes to mind? The accusation. Oh, you will never make a good mother, father. You will not amount to anything. Look at the arguments that you have with your wife. How many of us in this space are so often tempted to send that email in the name of Jesus, but it's full of blades. It's like, whoa. Oh, maybe just me. How many of you have not sent that email the next day and go, thank you, Jesus, I didn't? How many of us had to go back and go, I am so sorry I sent that? I tell you, in many cases, my biggest struggle at home when we're in this conversation is don't send that text, don't send that text. No, don't, no, nope. It is the way that we are tempted into a work-based effort to look apart. So it's about behavior. So Cardinal Rainiera said, you know, the world, he speaks of the battle. He said there's a triple alliance, and I'm just quoting him. He said the world, the enemy is around us. So there are the world around us which live with a different motivation. There is the flesh, that's the enemy within us. That's this desire, this fear, and all that emotion that lives within us to make sense. And then also the devil, that is the enemy that's over us. Like he's in the realm around us. And that's why if we are in this space, that the first thing I wanted to just encourage us today is to recognize the self-centered craftiness and the objective of the enemy. What does the word say? He comes to love us, steal, kill, and destroy. And you know how he does that? He does so by division. And he couldn't care whether we are of any religious or irreligious, whether we are evangelical or Pentecostal. Couldn't care. Do you know what? The battle is not against us. It's against Jesus. We are just collateral damage. But he wants to convince us that the battle, the world, the people, everyone is against me. He wants to convince us that I am the center stage and that everybody needs to do right by me, or otherwise my whole world will be shaken, and therefore, and therefore, and therefore. It is the awareness that the operating efforts of the enemy is completely in opposition to what we want and need. But he wants to make us wanting to want what we want in order to push away and divide us. So why am I saying that? He tempts us to be discrediting, because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But this is not a get out of jail card. This is not go, oh, okay, so the enemy's out there, so I can just sit back and there's nothing I can do. It actually gives us a spiritual superpower. And you know what that superpower is? I had discovered that one morning when this young boy came to me and he said, oh, that boy told me that I'm going to hell. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, mate, are you going to hell? I said, no. I said, why? He said, because of Jesus. I said, do you know that that boy might be afraid of going to hell and that he was in a hurt space? And if you allow that arrow to penetrate and then make it about you, you will be unable to recognize the compassion required to minister to that boy. I said, you have a superpower. If you can hold that shield up and return that arrow with love, I said, can you imagine what difference it will make? And about 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, he came and goes, sir. I said, yes. He said, it's working. I said, what is working? He said, that boy was afraid. And there is that whole thing that dawned on me, is that when we allow the offense not to penetrate the inner sides of our heart, when we allow that to actually get stuck in that shield, because the offense is paid for by Jesus, and we are then able in that process of awareness to return with compassion and peace and love and kindness, there is a power to stand mature in the will of God. I actually wrote this and I hope it makes sense. Standing mature in the will of God then is shaped in formation. It is revealed in fellowship and demonstrated in our mission. So the question to me, for me today, is like, what drives the narrative of your story? Each of us has a, we have a narrative in our mind. Like, I am constantly, as I've been leaning into prayer and that awareness, is to know that this narrative in my head, if unkept, will easily wanting to put me on the center stage. It takes offense and want to keep going. So what I say with this is to shape information. Do you know how many of us, let me rephrase. How many times I have, over the last 7 years, have started and I go into my formation space in the morning and I have this amazing time with God. I don't know if that's happened to you. Like, you can feel presence. It's holy. It's beautiful. And then all of a sudden, you go, Lord, this is going to be an amazing day. And because I don't want to interrupt it, my wife wakes up, and unbeknown to her, she walks up and walks in, and I'm like, what? Can't you see I'm busy? I'm like, what just happened? And that's what I'm saying is, like, we can, when we have these moments of formation and leading in, that is tested. I always say it's revealed in fellowship. It's in those spaces that I had to go back and process with God and go, Lord, what emotion is this? Why am I so immature? Why can I not allow, like, because it's no big thing. But this is the part of growing in faith. To stand mature is actually to be transparent in that space and allowing the identity of us to be, to the fear that hides in the roots of our souls to be identified. And that, they call it the problem emotions, but it's not really a problem emotion, but it's the anger, the anxiety, the things that hides in the roots of our heart. It's funny how that, you know, even in my own, you know, like, my own story through this process is that I would in certain areas be seen as spiritually mature. I mean, he's the guy who was trained. He's the guy out there. He preaches. He does this. But the challenge for me, the fear within me was that on the one end, on a Sunday, and in certain spots, I look like that. But on other days, when I'm alone in my own blaze, or that anxiety and all that emotion would just riddle my mind. If I close my eyes, the thoughts that would run through my head were just absolutely crazy. I couldn't sleep. It was just chaos. But the process of being shaped in formation that was revealed in fellowship helped me to recognize it was demonstrated in my mission, in my act. And in what I want us to, what helped me to stand more mature was to recognize that I am not mature or as mature as I think I am, and that there are always pockets of parts of our lives that needs to grow in maturity. And that's been part of this whole life of, you know what I really discovered? I call it my fruit to root test. I look at my behavior when things didn't go my way, and then I see it revealed in relationship, because it under pressure reveals the gaps. And it helps me to dig into my roots and to go, because I had to go deep down, deep, deep, deep down. I didn't trust God. I didn't trust the will of God for my life, for my wife, for my kids, for my ministry. I was doing things in the name of God. I was using God as long as it was beneficial to me. But truth be told, when my maturity was tested, what came up, those roots were very shallow. And that was part of why this formation process was so essential. I needed to grow in my faith in Christ. But I also had it, I needed to be tested. It's only out of the testing, it's only when we are here and we are starting to grind, it's like there's that grinding space where the truth is revealed. But for that to really happen, we need to be transparent, almost rawfully transparent. And that's why I'm complimenting the leadership that is emerging, is that there is an absolute transparency in that space. So how do we define that? The psalm that's been really powerful to me was that psalm. It says, Lord, know my heart. And then he goes on, know my anxious heart and test me. That's the essential. Test me. And test not just my anxiety. Test any emotion that runs through me. Because once we you know, allow the emotion to run wild. I talk about my inner dinosaur. And you know what? When my inner dinosaur is agitated, my heart, that inner part, man, there's just nothing that can stop it. But as we grow in faith, as we become more transparent, as we allow ourselves that in the will of God, it is not by my strength that I'm standing mature. It's not by your strength that you're standing mature, but it's by the weakness of my strength and the weakness of yours that we are united, that we can point towards the glory of Jesus, who is the rock, who is the provider, who is the one who died on the cross and who rose again, who has given us the Holy Spirit with the Father. And as the Father and Jesus send us the Holy Spirit, He, the, between all of them, is in empowering us for mission to go. But the power of our mission is when we allow to integrate our faith and our works into one space. It allows us to almost, I call it, I had to decompartmentalize my life. Because the way I looked at church, the way I was at home, and the way I was with you and with anyone, they were all different. And it sucked all the energy out of my life because there was parts that we had to pretend. And you know what? There's a word they call pretenders. They're actors. And the Bible called them hypocrites. And you know what? It steals the power of our witness right now. So as we follow, gather, go, we are shaped in formation. We are tested in relationship. And it's demonstrated in our mission. Can I say the best part that helped me was to pay attention to my emotions as they come up. And instead of just trying to plug them down, is to process what goes on, to analyze my prayers was incredibly helpful. I started to go, Lord, why am I whinging? And then allowing the Spirit, and that was the other thing, is as I was going through this process, to discern what is the word of the enemy and what is the word of God. And can I just expressly warn you or encourage you when the tone of accusing, when there's an accusatory tone in that space, when there is a shame or a guilt in that space, cast it in the name of Jesus, because God's character will never ever dump a whole lot of stuff that you need to. It doesn't operate that way. God's way, the Spirit brings one thing at a time, and He brings it with love and care, and sometimes challenge us to be courageous, to be transparent. Sometimes, look, it's not easy to go back to someone and say, hey, but it's incredibly powerful in the way that we do that. This morning we sang, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And standing mature, I think it's got a lot to do in the way we do things. Think about this, and that's our close today. The way I come home, I'm hungry. The way I respond to my wife's cooking will determine how the rest of the night go. Think about it. If I come in and go, oh, we're eating that. Or, oh, we're eating that. Same words, same truth. It's the way, the truth, and the life. Standing mature is not a strength test of my legs. It is a test of my character, willing to be transparent, almost weak, so that He can be portrayed as strong, so that others don't look at me and go, I have to be like Him in order to be a Christian. Others can look at me and say, oh, because of Him, I want to be like Jesus. Standing mature in the will of God should always point to Jesus, the narrative to Jesus, even at the expense of ourselves. That's why I think Hebrews says, pray and confess to one another. It's not a confession session. It is a process of unshadowing what sits between us in order for God to use us more powerfully in His mission. We are all standing in this space. And I pray that each of us, as we contend, maybe today we'll say to someone, you know what? Let's do it together. It's far better. Jesus, thank you that as we contend together for the renewal of the Central Coast, the first thing that says it's not in our own strength to stand mature. The most mature thing that we can do today is to confess that we are, in many of our areas, not mature in the sense of how I was able to carry that. But it's often the maturity is the courage to say how I am not able to do that. And how magnificent and beautiful you are, and the grace and the great freedom that comes with confession and repentance that leads us into the most freed space. And in that space, we're growing as we want to stand mature in the will of God. Lord, we don't just want to be having a couple of people who stand mature, but we want to live as we stand mature in prayer in the will of God. There is no better way. Because that way, the will of God, your will, has got mercy, it's got grace, it's got love, it's got acceptance, it's got courage, it's got power, it's got authority. But in all things, it's got that certainty that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we are here today, I want us to celebrate communion. And in our communion, I want us this morning just to, we're going to do it together. See, I remembered. We're going to celebrate it together as a sign of our unity. And part of what we are doing when we're celebrating communion, I call it, we are in a process of shadow hunting. What I mean by that is there's the enemy creates and seizes on any shadows that sits between us. And as we are actively working towards that growing in Christ and standing more mature, we are shining lights into every possible way so that every shadow in which the enemy want to create a foothold to build a stronghold can be eradicated. And in that space, the freedom we have will cause our witness to increase to a space where people walk in, or in wherever we are in this community, in this postcode 2261 and beyond, is to recognize something of Jesus in and through us. And that's what we do. That's what we celebrate. We are celebrating our brokenness. We are celebrating our need for Jesus, our gratefulness to Jesus, our gratitude, and our joy. Is that if you look around here, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. That's not quite fashionable. But the joy then goes on in Romans. It says, but now a new way through Jesus. And I think that is the most incredible two words to have heard, to my know. That no matter where you are today, no matter what you are facing, or in Jesus, you are fully accepted, fully loved, fully accounted for relationship. So that you don't have to stand mature in your own strength. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you that we don't have to stand in our own strength to look mature. Lord, the more I try to stand in my own ways and look the part, most often the kids and people close to me are the first ones to experience the grunt of me not being the part. Lord, our heart is not to be actors in this space. And it takes an enormous amount of courage to be real, to help and invite others into the narrative of our story. The world around us wants us to believe that it is our story and no one needs to know. And the world wants us to believe that we need to make our own way. But Lord, in so many ways on the Central Coast, we see the struggles of that. We see mental health declining. We see people's emotions declining. And Lord, it is so easy just to try to hide it. But in that hiding space, the burden that we are carrying as we try to stand is buckling our legs. Part of renewal is to take that off. As to know that the weight we are carrying can be taken off, and that you, Jesus, have taken care of that. But we don't just do that as individuals, but we celebrate and we do that collectively. And that's why we are celebrating communion this morning. That as we do it together, we celebrate, we declare that in one, we are able to be fully seen, fully loved, and fully accepted. In Jesus' name.